Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Well, I tell you, happy, happy November 1st to each and every one of you. I tell you, it's going to be a great morning. I see we have our co-host here with us today, ready to take it away. We got a few announcements first that we want to make, but good morning, Mr. Terry Benjamin.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing great, great, great. And I tell you, I know you're ready to get going with this topic.
Oh, you know I am.
You got to be so excited. I know you're busy because this is a great time that everyone is 60 or over, 50 or over, are in tune to what has to be said about how we can live healthier lives. This is the big thing right now. Everybody's talking about the trillions of dollars that go into the industry for wealth and for health and health care and well-being. And so this is just part, and then the lifelong learning, how you've married these two, I think is just phenomenal. And so for those of you, if you're just tuning in, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. Every Tuesday we have as our special co-host, Mr. Terry Benjamin. He is the author of Sexy at 60. And he is also has some new things coming out. I'm going to let him tell you about that. But also he is here each and every Tuesday morning. So please go tell everyone, go call somebody right now. Tell them to get on the line, 347-945-7991. That's 347-945-7991. He is going to empower you to take back your health and your mind so that you can, gracefully and powerfully grow older. Because you know what? To grow older means that we're still living, so we're excited.
Still around.
Encourage you to call in, and he's going to share his topic with you today, and we're going to encourage you to call in to ask him some questions, make some comments. I'm going to also be posting on Facebook, letting people know, call in now. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your questions. But before we do that, again, I want to thank you for tuning in to the show. For those listeners, faithful listeners, each and every morning, Ms. Virginia Dancy and others, and Ms. Denise from Cleveland, all these people call in. This is the morning you want to, this is the day we've been waiting for in terms of this topic, powerful stuff. Now, also, don't forget, for the month of November, we have a lot going on. I know the year is winding down, and we're making this year, we're just going to finish this year out with a bang. So we have opportunities for you to network, for you to be supported in your small business efforts and your nonprofit efforts, and people are connecting all around the country to support individuals that want to live a life of fulfillment. So don't forget, on November, we have November the day after Thanksgiving. That's Black Friday. That is typically known as Black Friday, where people go out and shop. Well, we're inviting you back to another vendor day at the Marriott Courtyard Hotel. Come and shop with small business owners. We're trying to pump up the economy. We're trying to make our impact. The country has asked for small business owners to step up, start those businesses. Everywhere you go, there are small business training programs that are being funded by the federal government because they realize that that is a way to get people off welfare and off unemployment, which is the goal. If we want to get our economy back going, we must get people back to work. And a great alternative to working for someone else is working for yourself. So make sure you come out. I'll have literature there at the Marriott Courtyard, 109 South. Come shop, but also come and get some knowledge. Okay, I'll be talking more about that for the rest of the week and also for the rest of the month, but that's Black Friday, November. It's the day after Thanksgiving. It's that Friday. We'll be there all day. Come and shop with us. So now, Mr. Benjamin, thank you for standing by, but let's talk about your topic today.
Well, I'm excited about the topic because it's really in line with all the things you said about the economy. And the thing is that we know there's a lot of high unemployment, but we can do something about that. Okay. We can do something about that if we decide that we are going to go to work for ourselves. Okay, that we're going to make it happen for ourselves. And the way to make that happen is the topic of the day, the power of focus. You have to know what you want, and you have to know how to get after it. I'm going to start with a quote today. This is from Napoleon Hill. And he says, every well-built house started with a definite plan in the form of blueprints. Let me say it again. Every well-built house started with a definite plan in the form of blueprints. And this is from Napoleon Hill. And what he's saying here, we have to live life on purpose. We have to live life on point. We have to decide what we want and build that blueprint so we can get it. And then we have to focus on the outcomes that will make that a reality for us.
Okay, now, Terry, again, your topic for today. What is your, I know you posted it on Facebook, but I want to just let everyone who's tuned in know your topic for today.
Yes, it's the power of focus.
The power of focus. The power of focus. So for those of you who just tuned in, you are tuned into the Coach Lisa Show. We have on our very special guest and co-host each and every Tuesday, Terry Benjamin, who's the author of Sexy at 60. And I know you posted on Facebook that you're now working on a movie.
Yes.
I'm auditioning my husband. I told him I think my husband is really sexy at 60, and I want him in this. And so I told him about it last week. Just said, okay.
Well, he will be, because I think, again, we're looking at people between the ages of 60 and 69 who still got it going on. People who have realized that, again, they have to build a life that they want to have for themselves. And by doing that, they can live the life that they want to live and not the life that they feel they have to live. Too many people let life happen to them rather than making life happen in a way that is beneficial to them. You know, I think a lot of people have to understand that we are in a state of emergency. If you say it enough time, it sounds like to emerge with urgency, okay, to emerge with urgency, which means we really have to take care of it. We have to do that, to emerge with urgency. Jim Rohn said that too many people are just too casual about life, that they're just too casual. And Jim Rohn said, if you are too casual, you will become a casualty.
All right.
So we don't want to do that. So we want to make sure that we develop this power of focus. And I just want to throw out two books that will really be the foundation for our discussion. There is one book. I'm going to give you one old book and one new book. The old book is a book that I read just like Think and Grow Rich. That's a book I read a couple of times every year. Another book that I read a couple of times every year is a book that, I guess, that it's an old book. As a matter of fact, it was published in the year 2000, but it's still relevant today. And the book is entitled The Power of Focus, How to Hit Your Business, Personal, and Financial Targets with Absolute Certainty. That's The Power of Focus, How to Hit Your Business, Personal, and Financial Targets with Absolute Certainty. And this is by Jack Canfield, along with Mark Victor Hansen and Les Hewitt. Okay? This is The Power of Focus. That's the old book. The new book, as a matter of fact, this book just came out, is entitled 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get Things Done. 18 Minutes. Find your focus, master your distraction, and get things done. And this is from Peter Bergman, B-R-E-G-M-A-N, Peter Bergman. And this just came out, and this is what they call a self-help business book. And this is a good book. It's from Business Plus, as a matter of fact.
Now, I didn't hear you mention the book, find your purpose and release your power and achieve everything. Pretty soon,
well,
Terry.
Oh, please, Ebony. That goes without saying, because, again, you say in your book right on the cover, to prosper, to purpose, to passion. And all these things are included. I mean, the passion is the thing that's going to help you over those obstacles, because you're going to get obstacles. But your passion is so strong and so intense, it's going to push you beyond that. And you will prosper because people are attracted to success.
Wow. Wow, Terry. You just said a mouthful right there.
Yes, but yes.
You know what? You just said a mouthful. Can we just hang the hat for a tiny second? Because I know you got stuff to share. You said such a mouthful that, you know what? I'm kind of even seeing how our young boys or, you know, young girls even are lured into the lifestyle of, say, you know, a pimp or a gang leader, because these people are successful.
They are, in their own way.
They don't see what's wrong. They only see the Cadillacs, the jewelry. They see the money, the restaurants, the things that these people are doing, and they see that as at least the people are successful. And so, no, you just said a mouthful. And people are attracted to that. They're not necessarily attracted to going out and killing someone and, you know, going to jail. That ain't attractive at all to nobody. I've been there.
Right.
Trust me.
Of course.
That don't look good on nobody. But they're attracted, even when it's, wow, people are attracted to success. The same thing in the church. A lot of people go into the church and they attack the pastors in terms of, you know, wanting to be with them.
Mm-hmm,
they're even married. But why? Because they see these people as successful. Wow, Terry, you really, boy, you just took me down a whole nother corridor.
Okay. Also, understand this, okay? When gangster rap was invented, and this was back in the day, as a matter of fact, Tracy Morrow, known, I guess, more properly as Ice-T. He was a young man from New Jersey. He went to the West Coast and actually put together the whole genre of gangster rap. But this is the point, Lisa. In the gangster rap genre, these were cautionary tales. Cautionary, meaning that we're going to show you what that gangster life is like, but we don't want you to follow that, okay? We're just showing that so you will avoid that, because it's going to lead to jail and death. Unfortunately, the kids picked up on the bling and not the aftermath of it, not what's going to happen if you get involved in this. Like, if you look at the movie New Jack City, everybody remembers who Nino Brown is, the character that Wesley Snipes plays, but nobody remembers the name of the cops that pursued him.
Mm.
Okay, because Nino was the flashy one. He was the good-looking guy. He had all the women, all the money. He is the one that people focus on, not realizing that, really, he was the one that was headed for a downfall.
You better say that. Wow. And, that's a whole other show, and I know you are also a specialist in gangster rap and rap and other forms of
rap,
rap. I've been at your workshop where you break it all down, and I think it's still relevant today and still important today. And so, but I know today you're here to talk about the power of focus, but
yes.
I just couldn't help but to just focus on that for a second, that success is, people are attracted to success. Wow. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, I think that your success is based on your daily behavior. That's why I said before, and a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the fact that every day you should do some reading, every day you should do some writing, every day you should do some talking, listening, and viewing. And again, this would set you up for a good day, and that would lead to a good week, and that would lead to a good year. And it's all about the power of focus, okay? But the thing is that we focus on what we want, but then we have to have an action plan as well, because Anthony Robbins said that the one thing that separates winners from losers is winners take action.
That's right.
They take action. I mean, we can talk about what we want to do, but unless we move toward that, unless we have an action plan, it's not going to work for us. And that's why you have to understand that most people are successful not because they're so brilliant, but it's because they're still persistent and because they're moving towards something. You know, it was once said, if you don't have any direction, any road you take is okay. It doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it's going to make you, let you go in the same place. And the thing about aging is the fact that no matter whether you do nothing or if you do something, those 5, 10, 20 years are going to pass by.
Anyway, right.
Anyway.
That's what helped me go back to school, Terry.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what helped me go back to school. It finally yes. hit me. I said, well, I, you know, people would say, oh, it takes, that's all I heard all my life, is that the college degree takes up so much time. And I really feel bad because I know a lot of children are being stopped for the same reasons that I was, because somebody heard somebody talk about the long, long years of getting a college degree, but they didn't talk about, but after those long years, what you can do with that degree versus if you live that long anyway without the degree. Nobody ever explained that. And so that's one of the things that I am on a mission to do, is to explain that to every high school from the ninth grade on, wherever they'll let me into that school, I will break that down to people. And using my own personal experience is that that's what stopped me. And but when I finally realized that the years were going to go by anyway, that if I didn't, you know, and so I could either be in school and get the degree at the end of those 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, or I could still go through life and 8 years would be gone by and still just have my GED, because that before I went back, I had, that's all I had was my GED. And now because I have the degrees, I'm able to knock on doors and say, want to do this work, that work, as opposed to having to fill out an application or
a resume. That's a good point. And you have to understand that in terms of on the road to success, I mean, you have to focus on the big picture all the time. What you have to do basically is focus, like I said, focus on one day, then one week, 1 year. Okay, when you're driving down a dark road, okay, the road is so dark that you really can't see the end of the road, but you can see what's in front of you. So you move on what's in front of you, take care of that, and move on to the next thing. So a lot of us don't have a plan for our lives, so we don't really know what we're doing, but you have to have short-term goals and also long-term goals.
Yeah, you got to see that big picture.
Well, the old joke is about how you eat an elephant. Well, you eat it, you know, one bite at a time. You can't take the whole thing in. So, you know, one step at a time, you know, and that would lead to the bigger picture, because we have the bigger picture in mind, but there's steps to get to that. I mean, you know, we're working on this movie now. Now, the first thing that we have to do, even before we go into production, is pre-production. So we're in pre-production with the film Sexy at 60. We're setting up our interviews. We're setting up our resources. I want all original music in the film. So we're looking at different musical artists. We're looking at cinematographers. We're looking at graphic designers. All this is pre-production, okay? And then after pre-production, we go into production. But after production, there's post-production. And with a documentary, most of the work is done in post-production, because post-production is putting everything together.
You're right. You're absolutely.
And then you have the film. So we go from pre-production, production, to post-production, and then the film. So every step of the way, we have to focus on the task at hand. We can't jump from pre-production to post-production. There's a big space in between that we have to fill. And that's the way life is. I mean, you have to go one step at a time. I mean, I think the secret to healthy aging is you realize that you're going to get older. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you don't have to be tired. You don't have to be drained of energy. If you eat right, if you exercise, this is going to help you. So you do the things that you need to do so you can do what your plan is. I mean, again, it's about, we said at the beginning of the program, living life on purpose. What is your purpose? What are you here for? And you need to know that.
Exactly. Well, we want you to call in, ask your questions. You have Terry Benjamin. I tell you, he's an expert at healthy aging, lifelong learning. He's written the book, Sexy at 60. They have the movie coming out. I tell you, this is your time. You can hear all of the wisdom and knowledge that he drops from authors, whether it be, you know, Jack Canfield or Mark Vincent Hansen, or whether it be, you know, Napoleon Hill or Deepak Chopra, all of these different people, the Zig Ziglars, all of these people who, you know, was it Marsha Burns, all the different, these people are telling us how to do it. You know, so many people are stuck wondering, want to do, some even want to do things, passionate about it, but not sure how to get started. What do I do first? So he's here today talking about the power of focusing, how to focus so that you can move forward. You know, focusing so that you can move forward, so you can achieve your goals and your destiny. 347-945-7991. You know, I'll pick up your phone line. All you, if you call in, you just have to hit your number one key so that I can know that you're ready to come on the air. And we listen. We got a little bit more time, so call in. Get those calls in. If you're in the chat room, call in. If you know somebody that you think this is a great time, if you know somebody that is struggling with focus, this is a good time. And I know I was struggled with this for a long time.
We all do. We all do.
I know.
An
important topic. Yes, go ahead.
Now, I'm just saying that it's so funny that a lot of times people talk about work and they talk about hard work and say, well, Jerry, you do a lot of hard work. But as I'm saying, I do what I love. And then in his book, 18 Minutes, I said, I quote here, and it says here, people tend to do things they find pleasurable and avoid things they find painful. People do what they choose to do, and if something's fun, they'll choose to do it. And I think there's nothing more fun than you actually fulfilling your destiny. You know, once you realize what you're here for and you fulfill that destiny, every day is fun. What we do on the radio, in our books, in our lectures, in our teaching, it's fun for us because we know this is our life's purpose and this is our calling. And we have to fortify ourselves with the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding that we have because we want to share it. Because I'm sitting here in my home office surrounded by my books and DVDs and whatnot, all the things I love, and also my family. But the thing is, I can enjoy it so much more because I know I have opportunity to share it. And the thing is, I remember I was in a Chinese restaurant and I was reading one of the fortune cookies. And it's so funny. You can find wisdom everywhere. And the fortune cookie said, it says here, it says, he who teaches learns twice. He who teaches learns twice. And that's so true. Because I tell my students, if you want to know a subject, talk about it with somebody else. Have a conversation about it. Because in a conversation, you will be able to not only explain it for that person, but explain it for yourself. So when we talk about focus, we have to say, well, focus is important because if I focus my efforts, even just for a second, even if it's just for a minute, it's putting you on the road to your success. Success, you know, Jim Rohn says, success leaves clues. And anybody, I would challenge you to find any successful person as you follow their life, you can see what they did, the different things that they did to get where they were. And you can look at that, and that's why I encourage people to read biographies of famous people. You know, because by reading these biographies, you can see what their life was like. As a matter of fact, I'm reading right now a biography of Harry Belafonte entitled My Song. And he tells about his life. He's 85 years old. Well, I should say 85 years young, okay? But he's a person who's lived a full life, and it's all in the book. So if you want to follow the mind of Harry Belafonte, read his book, My Song. I mean, it's there. You can, if you don't want to buy it, get it from the library. But again, follow in the footsteps of people who are successful. Put your focus on that, and you won't go wrong.
You said so much there, I tell you. That you're so right. You're so right. I tell you, not saying that you didn't know you were right on it, but it's just so many powerful things that so many, everything you're saying is a truth. It really is. And you know what? God doesn't care if you're successful at writing a book, making a movie, becoming a doctor, opening a hospital. You know, I know people who open hair salons, they don't even know how to do hair. But they know people that know how to do hair.
Well, that's the thing. Because we can't know everything. You know, we can't know everything.
I know a lady opened a construction company, and she's very successful right here in New Jersey. But that doesn't
wow.
matter. She's a construction worker, per se, but she's a business owner. She's an entrepreneur, basic skill sets. Same thing with leadership, basic skill sets of leaders. But like you said, you got to study the successful leaders. If you desire to be a successful leader, then you have to study other successful leaders. You want to be a successful entrepreneur or author, as you've mentioned, then you have to read. You have to study, Jack Canfield. He talks openly about in his books, and that's what I learned. You're right, on these autobiographies. Of course, you can watch a person come and sit on the couch of a show like Oprah Winfrey, and you'll hear a good 30 minutes, if so. But
yeah,
if you read the book, you're getting hours of them telling you exactly how they did it. They take all the guesswork out of these autobiographies.
Look at Jack Canfield right now. He's 65 years old. He's been doing what he's doing for a long time, and he loves what he does. It said in 18 minutes, the book that I've read before, it says here, fun reduces our need to motivate ourselves because fun is motivating. Okay, fun is motivating, and that's why when I'm teaching, when I'm lecturing, I'm having a ball. I'm having a good time.
I know, that's right.
You know, and my focus is on not just me having a good time, but like being a host or a hostess at a party. I want all my guests, I want all my audience to have a good time as well.
That's
and
right.
That motivates, and that's the focus. I mean, you have to focus. When you're giving a talk, I know people tell you the same, tell me, oh, wow, that was really, really good. You must be very talented. I don't know about talent. I know I work at it. I know I study. I know I put my focus on my message, and I take my notes, and I take my time to develop my thoughts. You know, I put my focus on it. If that's talent, then that's good, but I know it's hard work, but I don't think about the work. I think about the fun.
Well, you know, I think about the easiest way. For example, I want to help people reach their success in life, and that's, that's the road that I'm on, and I love doing that. But I just really believe in, following successful people. Someone told me years ago, success leaves clues. And when they told me that, I get that. Because especially growing up the way I did, I was always following people that were unsuccessful. And every time they led me to destruction or something crazy. And so I understood following. And so all I had to do was turn it around. And following people like you. I mean, you're one of my mentors, one of the persons I say, hey, I want to do that. And what happens? What happens? I meet you 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 1990.
Wow.
I meet you at FC County, Union County College.
This
is going on 21 years ago. Hello. I came there with nothing. But my GED in my hand. But
wow.
I got there,
wow.
And who did God link me up with? Terry Benjamin. Any other counselor could have been on that night. There could have been a counselor who didn't care. Could have been a counselor who was cold-hearted. There could have been a counselor, but the day I stepped into the facility, God let you be there on that particular night to step up and help me. You could have been with someone, and I would have been forced to see another person. But you were not. God is good. And what I'm saying is that 20 something years ago, here we are on the air together.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Not only one of my biggest college speaking engagements to almost 200 people happened the very next year after you spoke to the exact same crowd. And
well,
that was
something.
That was at the Essex County College Social Work Day. I had worked at Essex. Been around Essex for 20 years, and it was had known about that event for the past 10. It was only my desire to be their speaker one day, not knowing that I ever would.
that's the way life is. But the thing is that I think this is the key. I think the key to everything is to realize that I tell my students, okay, look, I'm gonna give you the bad news and the good news. Okay, the good news is that. Well, the bad news is that you are 100% responsible for your life. The bad news is that you are 100% responsible for your life. So the good news and the bad news is the same. You are responsible. It's on you. There's a new book out by Louise Hayes and Cheryl Richardson called You Can Create an Exceptional Life. It's Louise Hayes and Cheryl Richardson. You Can Create an Exceptional Life, which means that it's up to you to create your life. It's up to you to put it together the way that you want to, not someone else. We talk about success leaves clues. Yes, it does. If you want to do a certain thing, whether it be filmmaking, book writing, public speaking, you find somebody who is doing that. And what I would say, go to the top. When I was developing my public speaking business, I tried to find out the public speaker that everybody referred to, and I found that to be a man named Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, was called the Dean of Public Speakers. Les Brown, Victor Mark Hansen, Jack Canfield, all these people were singing his praises. So I began to study Jim Rohn. I began to study his tapes. I began to study his books, and that made me a better speaker. And then I also started buying books on speaking. As a matter of fact, one of the best books on public speaking is Paid to Speak, Best Practices for Building a Successful Speaking Business. Okay? It's a business, and all businesses have different rules and regulations. And this book is published by the National Speakers Association, Paid to Speak, Best Practices for Building a Successful Speaking Business from National Speakers Association. Join the association. Be around like-minded people. That's the key. You know, one of the things that Napoleon Hill did was pull together a mastermind group, and that group included Thomas Edison. They would meet every so often to put their heads together, put their minds together. Jack Canfield does the same thing. A mastermind group, like people like me and you and other people in the business and doing what we're doing, we need to get together every so often and to put our heads together and become this mastermind group, because, again, we want to focus on not success just for ourselves, but success for our family and our friends. And it takes some sitting down. It takes some study. It takes some serious focus on what we say that we want to do. And if you don't, go and do it.
Well, you know what I like about, you know, our relationship too, Terry, is that I like being around you because you're such an awesome, you know, reader. You know, you're throwing out all these books, all these names, and these are books that you haven't just read. You know, you didn't just read the title in the back.
No. That would be easy.
You're actually doing the hard work, and you're reading it. And what I love about all the knowledge you have is that, you know, we're told, those people who are on a pathway towards success, we're told that if you're the smartest person in your group, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So I need to be around people like yourself and, you know, and other people. You know, you have to be around people who know more than you. It's just that simple. You must. In order for you to grow and learn more, you have to be around people that know more. That's the whole concept of going to school.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
Parents are smart. It wasn't that your parents were smart, but at some point, you're mm-hmm. going to know pretty much what they know because they're telling you everything. So you need to go into the school system so that you can be around other teachers who know, who have studied. And anyway, I know, but I, hopefully that'll help somebody who.
But you're right. But I think, you know, I know one of my students asked me at one time, because of Benjamin, so I live in a very poor environment, you know, so what can I do to meet some people who are going to help me? I said, look, sometimes you might find those people in books. Okay, they may not be real people, but they'll be people that you meet through books. And I think that you got to understand that is what it is. There's a quote in the 18-minute book, and I want to read it. It says here, and it talks about age, and it talks about wisdom, and it talks about talent. It says here, if you're 70, don't get a facelift and pretend to be 30. Embrace 70 and use it to your advantage. According to a tremendous body of research, and this is key, talent is not inborn. It's created by practice. But gives a 70-year-old a tremendous advantage over a 30-year-old. Okay, again, talent is not inborn, but it's created by practice. You're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again until you become better. I know, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I wasn't a very good speaker when I first started. But as I began to practice and practice more, I got better and better and better. And I focused on the things that I did wrong so I corrected for the next engagement. you know. And I got involved in public speaking quite by accident. Somebody called the office at Union County College and asked me. They said, you know, we need a speaker for a Black History Month celebration. Do I know anybody? I said, well, I don't know anybody offhand. I can try to find somebody, maybe one of the professors here. And I just got curious. I said, well, and they said, well, we're going to pay them. I said, well, I said, how much are you going to pay them? And they told me. And I said, I could do that. So that was my first paid gig, but I said, wow, you know, they're paying that much just for hours of work. I said, well, I could put something together. I can do that. But the thing is, you got to understand that there is encouragement out here for people who want to be public speakers, and all it is just putting together what you know and sharing. I think the power of focus is in the fact that we have a goal. You know, when you go out to public speak, your goal is to teach and to encourage. And you can't teach and encourage unless you are taught or unless you are encouraged. I mean, that's the key. And sometimes if you focus on that, you'll be amazed at the opportunities that you will have. I mean, I've spoke to five people. I spoke to 5,000 people, you know, and I know for myself it's a calling because I never set out to do this. All I wanted to do is read books, and when I ran out of books to read, I wanted to write books, but I didn't ever think I would be a teacher. I didn't ever think I would be a public speaker. I didn't ever thought I'd be on the radio. I never thought I would be making a film. All these things came about because I move myself in a certain direction, and I'm moving on that path. And like I said, the beautiful thing about it, I don't know what the next day is going to bring. That's why one of the things you learn as an older person, that, you know, you have to be in the moment. Okay, right now I'm in the moment with you. I don't know what's going on outside. I don't know what's going on next hour or whatnot, but right now in that moment, we're focusing on that moment. And focusing on that moment is going to propel us to that next moment. It's all going to be good because, again, when you get a certain path, it's kind of hard to go back to what you used to be, what you used to do. It's like, you know, you're not that person. It's so funny that you were at the you gave a speech at that social work week. I was there before, and I talked about the power of transformation. I said that every maybe 5-10 years you need to transform yourself, and it's so funny. And it's not just your mind, but sometimes even our appearance, because I think older people, if they know themselves, if they take care of themselves, they look the best ever. They never look better because they know themselves. They know their body. They know what to wear to enhance their appearance. They know how to cut their hair. They know how to wear their beards. They know how to wear their clothes because they've had practice with themselves. So they can only be better. I mean, like they said, like fine wine, you know. You get better. I was telling my son, who was 27. I said, man, you know, wow, you're getting old. He said, what about you? I said, no. I'm getting better.
Yeah,
but that's the key.
And you're more relaxed because you don't have to, you know, like when you're younger, it sounds like when you're younger, you're always rushing to get older.
Yes. You can't wait.
You always want to do things ahead of time. You're older, you know how to wait. So you're more relaxed, more calm. You can really enjoy where you are, like you said, like Joyce Myers wrote that book, enjoying where you are on your way to where you're going. So it's not that, you know, we don't have vision of where we want to go, but we know how to, like, be in the moment. But we're enjoying right now because we know once this moment is gone, it's gone forever.
Well, that's the thing, and that's why time, you know, time is so important. I mean, you can replace a lot of things. Okay, you can replace old clothes, you can replace old shoes, and you can replace old books, but you can't replace time. Because once time is used, it's gone, and you can't recapture it. I mean, I tell my students when I was working on one of my books, I was on the typewriter, and I was really cooking, boy. I was really getting those ideas out there on the computer screen, and everything was going good. Man, I was just in my zone. And then what happened, I did something. I touched the screen and I touched the key, and then everything went blank. Mm. And I sat there and I asked my students, I said, you know, what do you think I did? And they said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you know what? I said, look, I can sit here and cry, or I can do it again. So I decided, I took a deep breath, and I started working on it again. Because, again, the thing was that I'm not just interested in being a writer. If I was just interested in being a writer, I would say, oh, man, let me get out of here. I can't do this. But because I'm committed to being a writer, I started all over again. And I told myself, just to make myself feel better, that, you know, writing is rewriting. So you're rewriting these 100 pages that you lost, but it's going to make it better.
Sure. Okay, so the power of focus. So what are the steps, again, to the power of focus?
Okay, number one, make a plan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Make a plan. Number two, stick to that plan. And number three, work that plan.
Okay.
Okay? And it may take time, you know. It's not going to be done overnight. But because you have a plan, because you're working that plan, you know, you're going to do it. And also understand, Lisa, this is the biggest thing I said, you know, with the film that I'm working on, you attract like-minded people. They seem to come out of the woodwork, you know, because they are really, they're as hungry as you. They're hungry as you.
Now, say that again. You attract like-minded people. Now, does that work on both sides? So if you are negative-minded, because some people sometimes wonder, how do attract that negative person in my life. Does that mean? I know you read a lot of books, and I'm sure you read about this in one of your books.
Of course, right. Because, I mean, it's like this, okay? This is like attracts like. And if you are in a depressed mood, it may be temporary, but you find, woe was me, and you announce that pity party, and there are people who will come to it. But on the other hand, if you announce a celebration, and this is about positivity, you attract those kind of people as well. And sometimes they're found in the most unlikely places. That's why I know for myself, when I go on the Essex County College campus or Union County College campus, I am friendly to everybody, from the janitor to the president, because you never know when someone may be able to help you fulfill your goal.
Now, how many campuses are you currently teaching on?
Well, I sort of cut back. I'm only on two right now.
But you were up to how many campuses here in New Jersey?
Oh, man, six. And there were some days when I would be on three different campuses. Because even now I teach. Yeah, right. Without a car. Because even now I teach from, I'm teaching Monday through Saturday. I have a Saturday course as well. So, I'm out every day. You know, the only day I really have is just relax, and not so much relax, because even when I'm relaxing, I'm listening to tapes, you know, I'm watching films, you know. I'm in a constant state of excitement and expectation and motivation, because it's, for me, this whole thing that we're talking about is my lifestyle. I mean, every day I read, talk, listen, and view. So what I do, I mean, again, I said in the beginning of the program, success really is based on your daily habits and your daily behavior. And my daily behavior and habits is what I do every day. So consequently, you become that. I mean, when I say sexy at 60, you know, it's so funny. I didn't want to be in the film, okay, because I felt that, you know, I was just being a little too egotistical. But I realized that because I've been talking about this sexy at 60 for such a long time that I've become the thing that I talk about. So I have to be out there to show you, okay, well, here's a man. He's in his mid-60s, but he looks good. You know, he looks good. He's animated.
And then one day you looked in the mirror and said, well, what about me?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, that's right, because I've listened. I got 4 years to get. I said I got, well, five. It'll be, well, three more, well, five more, six more, seven more days.
Yeah.
November the 8th. Yeah, double nickel. So listen, I'll have 5 years to get ready for that film. Sexy at 60, but certainly, and what we mean, I can't say what you mean by it, but
yeah.
Thinking that it means that you are taking care of your health, you're taking care of your body, you are taking care of your mind, you're keeping yourself attractive and sharp, and that, you know, you're not letting age, you're not saying, oh, well, it's okay because I'm already over the hill.
A lot of people do that to the point where they, like, you know, they get to their later years, their 50s, and and they just sort of start winding down. That's why I always talk about here this, what I call the myth of retirement. I mean, you don't need to retire. You don't want to retire for something you enjoy doing. I retired at 57, not because I hated what I was doing. I retired at 57 because I wanted to have more time to do the things I love to do. I don't want to worry about, you know, getting to work and working for someone else and going through office politics and that kind of stuff. I wanted to get out of that arena so I can step back and get perspective on what I want to do and then go back into the job market, but not as a employee, but as a person who is making work for myself. I mean, that's what artists do. You can't really hire artists because basically if an artist is true to himself, he is making the things that he sees inside his head. You know, I tell people, you know, nobody can afford me. I mean, if you ask me to do editing or whatever, you really can't afford me, but I will do it and I'll give you a decent price only because it's basically just to let me know that you're serious. You know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, sometimes we can't give away things for free because if we give it for free, people have no value on it. I remember I had this conversation with one of my students. I said, you know, you can call me Terry. He said, no, I don't want to call you Terry. I want to call you Professor Benjamin because you deserve that. And I thought about it, and he's right. You know, I work for this. You work for your what they call you. And it's important to them because I think you have to understand one of the things about success, you know you're successful when you're happy for other people's success. And when I see your books, when I see you doing what you're doing, I'm happy for you. That shows maturity on my part. Rather than say, oh, man, she thinks she did, she thinks she that. No, celebrate that person's success along with them, and then guess what? When you're successful, they'll celebrate with you.
And you know what, too? That's a good point you brought up, and I think it is so helpful, though, because you also was there when I wasn't all of those things, when I didn't have all those things, when I wasn't able to put any letters behind my name, when I didn't even know what letters meant, when I didn't even know what letters were available behind the name. So, you know, I think that's something, too, when you were there before all of this other stuff happens.
Yes,
and you
yes.
got to really see the transformation.
Yeah. But
you know,
everybody has this potential, okay? Everybody has the potential. And I like what Louise Hayes says. She says we have to build affirmations. And sometimes she said when you first do it, it's silly. But you need to look in that mirror and say, you know what? I'm sexy at 60. And say enough until you believe it. And because when you have that, that idea that you're sexy at 60 or 50 or 70 or 80, you get a little strut about yourself, man. You get a little pep in your step, okay?
I was going to say, because here's the key. Because when you start acting like it, that's when
you'll
be it. But
of course.
I try to get people to see every day is you don't do it just by, yes, words are important and thoughts are important, but until you could put that action to it, you really don't even know that you can do it or be it.
Of course, but the thing is, you know, a plan without an action step is a fantasy, okay? I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer.
Right.
But unless I study those books and write those books and practice that craft, it's a fantasy. Like I might say,
well,
you know what, I want to fly an airplane. I want to be an airplane pilot. But you don't do anything about it. So that's a fantasy.
You don't go take it.
Right, because there's no action behind it. And when there's no action behind it, there's no energy behind it. You see, that's
you
what
know
focus
what
is.
And I also believe that a lot of the action should be targeted.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Target your action.
Got to be.
You know, again, you could want to be a pilot, but don't take action to go and, you know, drive cars. You're not going to be a pilot driving cars. So if you want to be a pilot, go take some flight lessons.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, again, like you said, I think the power of focus is in the details in the sense that, again, I think focus is like meditation. When I have a class for that hour or an hour and a half, as far as I'm concerned, we are meditating on this particular subject. We are focusing on this particular subject. When we listen to this radio program, we're meditating on the power of focus. Everything that we talk about is related to that. So for this hour, this is what we're focusing on. This is what we're meditating on. People have to understand that sometimes we need a timeout in our day. That's why sometimes if my day is particularly hectic, I will go and maybe sit in an empty classroom, and I will close my eyes, and I will put my hand on my stomach, and I will breathe in and out, and I will focus. And if I do it right, if I really clear my mind, that 10 or 15 minutes of meditation can be really as good as a half an hour nap.
Without shutting down.
Yeah, so it's like rebooting, okay? I shut down, and then I reboot, I rejuvenate. Because one of the things that people have to understand is that they see people working, and it's not working harder, it's working smarter. Okay, I'm probably harder than I work at any 9-to-5 job, but I do it smarter. I mean, I don't run myself down. I take time to eat, to take my vitamins, to do my exercising. I take the time to take care of myself because I know there are people who are depending on me, whether it be students, whether it be family, whether it be my children. So I have responsibility to them to take care of myself. That's when I read about these celebrities who commit suicide or abuse drugs and whatnot. They got to realize that there are people who love them. You know, I always say that Michael Jackson didn't have to die, but Michael was isolated. He didn't realize there were people who loved him. And maybe if he would have embraced that love, he would still be around.
I believe that. Sure, because sometimes when you don't love yourself, if you have enough people around you that do love you, they can love you until you learn that eventually you'll get it. Eventually you'll say, well, wow, maybe I am special. Maybe there is something great about me if all these people. But like you say, you have to be around them. You have to get that energy, and that's really good.
Yeah, it's like children. I mean, you ask the children, can you sing? Say, yeah, I can sing. Can you dance? Oh, yeah, I can dance. You go to adult, can you sing? Well, no. Can you dance? Well, not that good. Kids don't think about it. They're having so much fun. My granddaughter comes over here, and I have some jazz on, and she's making up lyrics to the jazz. She's not a singer-songwriter, but you can't shut her up because she's having fun.
She's
having fun. And what happens, I think as we're older, I tell myself, look, no, I don't care how old you get, you got to keep the child alive in yourself. When I'm writing something, I'm so excited about each new project because, for me, it's new. It's for me, when I write, it's like playtime, whether I'm writing fiction or nonfiction, because I know that in the process of writing, I'm going to learn something new about myself, and that excites me.
Wow.
And that's the fuel that I need to put my focus, to put my energy, because I know there's going to be a return. And now with the filmmaker thing, filmmaking is a collaborative process, which means that many people get together to do this one thing. And I love that because I can almost sit back and just put some things out there and let somebody else run with it. And then we come back, we put it all together. I think that's the thing. And again, and the thing is, we're all focused on the success of the project. Everybody wants this to be a good thing, and everybody wants it to be a good experience. So we're focused on that. You know, anything else is irrelevant. You know, we just want to make this the best it could possibly be. And
Same thing in companies. It's a collaborative effort. They pull in somebody from advertising, somebody from production, somebody from, you know, logistics, somebody from finance. You know, you're right. It's so, you know, wow. It's a collaborative effort. And that's why right now one of the major skill sets that employers are looking for are people who know how to work together on a team to collaborate. So that's going to be good. Yeah, you can almost start a training program behind that movie.
And just bring energy, because I think when we collaborate, when we put our minds together, when we have our focus, we generate energy, and that's unstoppable. It's unstoppable.
That's right.
We can't stop the people who are engaged in a thing that they love. You can't do it.
You're right. That's so true. Boy, we have said so much here. We only have about 2 minutes left to the show.
Wait, when did the time go, man? Whoa, I'm looking at the time. Wow.
I know you.
Where did it go?
Well, it went into the topics of... and, We've talked about the power of focus.
Wow.
We've talked about how to achieve success. We've talked about how to, you know, be sexy at 60. So
yes,
we've had about 8 different subjects here today. We've talked about lifelong learning. We've talked about collaborating on projects. This show, when people go back to the archives, which they can listen. And they can replay it over and over. You can put it on your web page, or you can, you know, download it to a CD.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
And download it to a CD. Get your team members that once they begin to, you know, you can download these things right onto a CD. Burn it. And these you will be able to have for your students who are looking to, for any topic that you bring. I meant to tell you that on Tuesdays. You know, you whatever, and you can do that. But definitely, I got that today. The power of focus. You got to make a plan. You got to commit to the plan. You got to work the plan. And then you have to take action on that plan every day.
That's it.
That's good. Taking action on that plan each and every day. And then you said, you know, from time to time, you have to redo things. You have to add to it, rejuvenate that plan, revamp it. Wow. That is powerful. Focusing.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to say, basically, just to leave your listeners with this, I mean, again, we are in a state of emergency, okay? We are in a state of emergency, and for me, that means to emerge with urgency, okay? Emerge with urgency, okay? Get that focus, get that plan, work that plan, and I'll see you at the top.
I know that's right. You will. Tell you so. If you tune into the show and you would like to connect with Mr. Terry Benjamin for more and a whole lot more of what you got today, well, first and foremost, know that you can catch him right here on the Coach LaLisa Show every Tuesday morning. But also you can connect with him right from his Facebook page. He also has...
Please.
He has his in-house publishing company that has an array of services that for you. We have one of his authors will be the guest on the show. You know, Janet White will be on the show Monday, November the 7th. So I don't know if you knew that, Terry, one of your authors.
No, I didn't. No, I have to, because like I said, you know, these authors are like my children, you know. You know,
well,
I raised them to a certain point, and they run all over the place.
So
that's great. I'll definitely tune in for that.
I know you're going to tune in and tell all your students to tune in. This is one of your authors are going to be right here on the Coach LaLisa Show.
I
go back 21 years ago to that little small office there in Union County College.
Wow, I can't believe it's been that long.
And this today, neither one of us with a book at that moment. Neither one of us really with a public career. Certainly, I didn't even think about it. Because if I had knew I could do all of this, Terry, I'm going to just keep it real. If I knew I could do all this, I would have did all that while I was at Union County College when I had an audience of 20,000 people, when I had auditoriums at my beck and call. I would have. And when I had every professor that would have jumped on board. I wouldn't have waited. And that's one of the reasons, one of my messages to students is about not waiting. If nobody else wants to talk about it, that's on them. I want to tell students, don't wait. Don't wait. You can wait, but you don't have to. Why? Everything is right there for you on the campus. Do it now.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think colleges, I see them as resources. That's what they are, and you should use those resources because they're at your disposal, you know.
Exactly. Everything you need is right there. And you're paying student fees for it. Your college tuition is helping to – it's right there. Take advantage. And that's what I want to go out and do is teach students how to take advantage because, you know, I was able, even as a more mature student, to take advantage of Phi Theta Kappa in the admissions office as a student. I worked as a tutor upstairs in the Adult Learning Center. So I took advantage. And I did all that with a husband and a job, a full-time job. And imagine students coming on board, many of them not having jobs, not being married. I mean, you know, a lot of these students, especially the ones coming right out of high school, and some of them take advantage of nothing on the campus, but yet they say they're bored.
Yeah, and of course, and that's so silly. But again, I think they need to mature. I think, you know, one of the things about being 60 at 60, you know that you are mature. You are grown. I like to say grown and sexy, you know. And,
I know that's
you,
right.
You understand. I mean, I tell my students, you know what? I know I don't have a lot of time at 61. But you know what? You don't have a lot of time either.
Okay? That's right.
Yeah, that's the key.
Right.
They think, oh, I have time. No, life is moving too fast. Nobody has time.
Well, that's what Dr. Kimbrough told us when I had him on the radio show. He said, time isn't running out, but your life is.
So, time is eternal. You're not.
That's right. That's what he was saying. And then Rick Warren said something similar when he talked about, you know, he put these dash lines or something like that. And,
uh-huh.
You know, you're just like, you know, your life is like a dot, just a dot in the long life. Time is like a long line, but your life is like one dot.
Yeah, right. And you know what a dot is? I mean, that's like a grain of sand. I mean, who can even see that?
Exactly.
You know,
you want to make the best of it, as you have done. And we thank you for coming on. That's all we have time for. We've actually gone over a few minutes, but it's okay. It's still we're still live. We're just not people in the chat room can no longer hear us. But anyone that was on the call, they can hear. So we thank you, Mr. Benjamin. We'll see you back Tuesday. Hopefully we'll see you before then on some other things. Feel free to call into anytime. You're always welcome because you always drop a lot of wisdom on us, a lot of wisdom, knowledge, and books, and we're ready. I'm going to have everybody today when I go to the center where I work with women in transition from welfare. I'm going to go there. I'm going to have those women. Everything that you come on, this show that you do on Tuesday, I go there and do it.
Oh, great. That's great. That's great.
I'm going to go there and
that.
Deal with today, the power of focus. I'm going to give them the three steps to the plan and making the plan, and that's what we're going to do. And possibly what I'll have them do is I'll have them, because they can get on Facebook there, I'll have them go on Facebook and I'll have them make posts about what we talked about.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
We're going to do that today. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to have them. I might even pull up the page to the website here and have them listen to the show.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
And have them make comments and then ask you any questions so you can address them next week. How about that?
I would love to. That would be great. I look forward to that. Look forward
Let's
to
do
that.
Let's do it. It's going to be
every Tuesday. You know that. It's
that deal.
Great.
You're going to get your questions on Facebook today. So God bless you. And I tell you, it's awesome. Okay, everybody, that was it for today. Have a wonderful day. Go out. Stay focused. Take your power back. Use your energy. Emerge, emerge, emergency. It's an emergency. You heard it right here on the Coach Lily. Heard it. Emerge. Come on. Get up, get up, get up, and get moving. All right, Mr. Benjamin, until next time. Be powerful. Be blessed.
Okay, peace.
Peace out. All right, y'all. Have a great day.